welcome you to Citizens Climate University, a program for climate advocates like you and I to connect with each other around the larger world and empower us to achieve our larger goals for climate advocacy. This week's essential topic is a fresh approach to engaging presentations. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and thank you for joining us tonight. We are in for a real treat because we've got a speaker tonight. Steve Levin is a leadership coach and organizational consultant. He works with executives to have a bigger impact through their work and actions and teaches an advanced communications course called Powerful Conversations for leaders and coaches. He's all about supporting people to take charge of creating the future they most desire, so he's the perfect speaker to help us explore a fresh approach to engaging people. And after the presentation tonight, we'll also have Dave Kane, CCL's presenters and schedulers action team lead, review how you can take this information tonight and get more active with CCL with their action team. But let's jump ahead to the agenda. If we've done our job well, after the next hour, you will have a preview to a fresh approach for giving presentations. You'll have the chance to discuss what's working and why. And we'll also have a chance again to highlight where you can find support and resources for your own presentations in your own communities. Without further ado, I'll pass it back to you, Steve, and look forward to a wonderful presentation, everyone.
All right. Thank you very much, Brett and Dave. Thank you so much for the invitation to be with this wonderful group of volunteers here for CCL. I'm a big believer in CCL, and one thing I noticed is that everyone has a fantastic intent and wonderful skill, and we can all support each other to be even more effective. And that's why we're here tonight, to look at a fresh approach for engaging your audiences when you present about CCL. In fact, I think it's a fresh approach to what we're aiming to accomplish and how we do it. So why a fresh approach? It's basically because we're at an inflection point in the movement towards a national climate policy where we need less explaining about climate change and more engaging people to actually take action. Which means when we present to them, we're not just giving them information. In fact, we're looking to transform who they are and how they think. Change how they think from being vaguely aware of climate change to being urgently concerned. So they really get it. That now is the time to take action. That instead of waiting for a solution to be brought to them, they become part of the solution. And instead of focusing only on what they're doing narrowly in their own small carbon footprint, which is good, to also advocate for national policy action. It's time to get people on board and moving, which means our role as a presenter, as a CCL volunteer, introducing them to it is not so much to give information, but to actually be a source of energy and inspiration. And we can do this because of our passion, our knowledge, our skill, our dedication. We can give others energy and inspiration to act. And that's the fresh approach. So I have an invitation for you about how to participate. You're already involved in CCL. You're already active. But imagine that you're someone who knows about climate change, but isn't yet fully engaged. And it's like a lot of people you know. They're aware, they're open, but they don't really know what to do. And listen from that point of view and notice how you respond to what I say and how I say it. And as you notice it, see what you like about the content, what I say, and my style, how I say it. And consider how you might adopt some of these practices to speak differently about CCL when you present. So that's your assignment. Be in the role of someone who's interested, aware, but not committed, and see how you're affected. And after this sample presentation, we'll take a look at what worked for you, what didn't, and what you want to do.
All right.
Great. Here we go. So thank you so much, Dallas Rotary Club, for inviting me to present to you about how to solve the climate challenge. My name is Steve Levin. I'm here as a concerned citizen and as a volunteer for Citizens Climate Lobby. And I'm especially glad to be here because I share with you values that are very important. Your four-way test that you use as you seek to eradicate polio and do other good work is all about elevating the truth, seeking fairness for everyone, building goodwill, and finding ways to promote the common good, to be a benefit. And we can take those same values and use them to address the climate challenge. So I want to tell you that my wake-up call for the climate challenge came when, living in California, there were fires throughout the forests in California. Forests, acres and acres of forests were being ravaged, towns were being incinerated, and we were all worried. I mean, this was a fire that was unprecedented. In what's called the Golden State, it was the burning state. And I lived 200 miles away from this fire. And yet I found the air so toxic that I had to walk around with an air mask for a week. I lived 200 miles away, and suddenly what seemed like a distant problem, a fire far away, became an immediate problem for me because it affected the air I breathe. I woke up in that moment and said, I've got to pay attention to greenhouse gases because it's not only affecting me, it's affecting everybody. So that actually brought me here to the Rotary Club to talk with you. And in the next 20 minutes, I'm going to share with you what we already know about climate change and some ideas about actions that you and I can take to create a more livable world. And it turns out that we know quite a bit. But I first want to check with you all, because perhaps you're already familiar. So could everybody do something here? Consider this question: how familiar are you already with the facts and science of climate change? Put one finger up if I haven't the faintest idea. Five fingers up if, oh yeah, I'm totally up on this stuff and I stay current. Somewhere in the middle is three, I'm well-versed in the basics, and then you can pick something in between. So one, two, three, four, or five. So go ahead, when I say one, two, three, go, put up the right number of fingers. One, two, three, go. Okay, I see a four, a two, a one. I see a lot of threes. I see a lot of twos, ones. Okay, great, thank you very much, put your hand down. So what I can see is none of us are atmospheric scientists. Neither am I, but we all know a little bit, and maybe you're interested in learning more. So let's take a look at what we already know. Well, turns out scientists know a lot. 97% of scientists around the world agree that global warming is real, it's caused by increased greenhouse gases, and it's we human beings and our activities that's contributing to those gases. And you can see in this chart that since the Industrial Revolution, of course, we've been burning a whole lot of gas and oil and coal. And in recent years, it's gone up and up and up, not only here, but worldwide. And as fossil fuels are burnt, it puts more CO2 into the atmosphere. And when the sun shines onto the earth, radiating heat, some of that heat is reflected into the atmosphere. Normally it would dissipate, but with more greenhouse gases, as they accumulate, the atmosphere blanket becomes thicker, it traps more heat, and the world becomes warmer. In fact, I wonder if you can guess, when you think about the hottest years on record, think about all the years we've been tracking temperature. When have been the 20 warmest years? When have they occurred? Well, it turns out they've occurred during the past 22 years. That's right, that the hottest years on record have all occurred within our recent memory. And the warmest 4 years have been the past 4 years. 2018, 17, 16, and 15 have been the hottest years on record. So what does that mean? Well, it means that extreme weather events, they've always been with us. In fact, in the 1980s, you can see on this chart that about 200 to 300, about 250 weather events happened every year around the world, with droughts, fires, mudslides, all kinds of things in nature. They have zoomed up to the point where now we're at double or triple the number, with 600 to 700 extreme events affecting us. Coincidence? No. None of these events is caused by climate change, but climate change makes these events more frequent and more extreme. And that means low-lying communities are inundated. People are losing their homes and being displaced. It means that there are more severe droughts. It means that the ocean temperature is rising. And with that, coral is dying, ecosystems are being disrupted, the ocean is getting more acidic. So, look, I know this is hard to hear. It's hard for me to say. It sounds like a lot of gloom and doom. It's not fun. And it may seem like it's all happening out there, but here, actually in Texas, it's predicted that by the middle of this century, there'll be over 100 days every year above 95 degrees. There'll be thousands of heat fatalities and crop yields will go dramatically down. So it's something we really cannot ignore. Now, I want to ask a question. How long do we have before it gets really bad? It's already pretty bad. It's predicted to get worse. Well, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the world's leading climate scientists, tell us that we have 12 years to cut global emissions by 50% before the effects are so bad that they can't be remediated during our lifetime or our children's lifetime or our grandchildren's lifetime. In other words, we don't have long at all. I want to do another quick poll here. For some of you, maybe you've heard this before. For some, it might be new. So by show of hands, would you say, which of these is more true? Either this is mostly new information, or I've heard most of this before. Now, isn't that interesting? Most of us have heard this before. So how are we responding to it? So let me ask you to take an honest look at your own response to knowing this information or hearing it for the first time. Which of these four statements describes you and how you're responding to climate change? And there's no right or wrong, there's no shame or blame, there's just being honest with ourselves and each other as we take an inventory of how we're responding to this. So I'm gonna roll through these and then I'll ask you to put up one, two, three, or four fingers depending on your response, but not yet. So the first one might be, well, I haven't heard much about climate change, or maybe I've heard about it, but I don't think it's much of a problem. That's number one. Number two is, I think climate change is real and important, but I'm not yet doing much about it. Number three is, I have taken some steps to reduce my own personal carbon footprint or in my community, but not a lot more. And number four is, I actively address climate change through my personal choices and by working for a national policy that lowers greenhouse gases. So there's no right or wrong. Right now, again, in the role of someone who's aware but not yet fully engaged, please put up the number of fingers that represents your point of view. One, two, three, or four. Keep your hands high and look around the room, everybody. Look around the room, just kind of notice the pattern. So I see a three, a two, I see a one, I see one, four. I see a lot of twos and threes. Thank you very much, put down your hands. Now, frankly, we're pretty normal as a group because recent attitude surveys show that Americans actually do get it. By a margin of 5-1, they understand climate change is real and it's a problem. And yet, just like most of us in this room, we're not yet fully engaged. We're doing something, but not a lot. So it causes us all to stop and reflect, and I've asked this of myself. I know that there's a gap between what I think I should do and what I'm actually doing. That happens all the time. So let's ask ourselves this question. Ask it honestly of ourselves. What's the story I tell myself that keeps me from fully engaging around climate change? Like, what's my thought or story that goes through my head that keeps me from engaging? And to help us reflect deeply, see if you can boil it down into one sentence. I something. So it might be, I don't have time. Or I just don't care that much. Or I don't think there's anything I can do. Or anything else that's true for you. You're probably recognizing some of your own thoughts in the statements of others. There's too many other emergencies. Too much going on. I think someone will come up with answers. They always have. In a real presentation, I would actually have people pair up and go back and forth and share their ideas and take an inventory and really reflect on it. Like, what is going on inside my head? With no judgment or blame. All right. What I've learned is that there's a big difference between, I know about this, but I'm going to wait and see, compared to, let's get going now, or let's do it now. And, you know, if you ever play Scrabble, you know that before you can really lay down an important word and get a lot of points, you need to have all the right letters in place. And some of the things that you said fall nicely into what I've observed as the four major factors needed to get someone to move from a good intention to act to taking action. So I want to share those with you. They apply to me. They apply to many people. Let's see if they apply to you. What do I need to go from wait and see to let's start now? Well, the first thing I need is personal conviction. I have to know enough about the subject and sense the urgency, the importance of it, so I can speak with sincerity and authority about it, so I feel comfortable taking a stand for it. Without personal conviction, I can't even get started. The second thing I need is to know that there's some pathway to success. Some of you said, I feel overwhelmed, I don't think I can do anything. Well, then why would you begin? So we need a path to success. We have to see the light at the end of the tunnel. The third thing we need is a playbook. Like, tell me what to do. How do I begin? What's first? What's second? What can I do today? What can I do tomorrow? We need a playbook so we know how to participate. And fourth, one thing very important to me, and maybe to many of you, is I want support. I can't do this alone. I need a group or a companion or a process or a pattern or something to support my action. Take another look at your own gap between knowing what you might like to do and what you actually do, and tell me which of these is missing most for you. Okay, and for some people, they just need a stronger conviction. Well, you know, I know for myself, let's pause there. When I look at my own gap between what I want to do and what I actually do, I notice that in some ways, each of these can be missing. And when I woke up to climate change and began to take it seriously, I looked around and I was so glad to find Citizens Climate Lobby. And I'll tell you why in a moment. This is one of the largest grassroots organizations in the United States that is dedicated to fighting climate change and figuring out a path forward. And through its volunteers, it helped me gain more personal conviction because they have education materials and training that is very powerful, that brought me up to speed and gave me a lot of confidence in knowing this is an important problem that I can address. Citizens Climate Lobby also has a path to success. They have a clear roadmap to build political will to create a national climate policy that goes far beyond my changing light bulbs and putting in solar panels, actually affecting the big game. They also have a playbook. There are many ways that I can participate in Citizens Climate Lobby through its chapters with specific next steps that I can engage in. And for me, best of all, there's a huge amount of support, because with over 420 chapters around the country, each of those chapters supports volunteers like me and you to participate and collaborate in a very respectful and nonpartisan way with everybody else. And they actually have a solution in mind. So probably now you're asking, well, what is that solution? Is there hope? I'll tell you about it in just a moment. But first, let's look at what the criteria are for a good climate solution. When I look around for a solution to solve a problem this big, I know it has to drive large-scale change and fast. This is a big problem, and we need a solution that matches the size of the problem. We need to actually transform the trend line from using more carbon to using less, and we have to do it quickly. Remember, 12 years to reduce by 50%. The next criteria is I'd like something that uses incentives that supports people to make good choices instead of controls and regulations where government is telling me and other people what to do. I want to make good choices, and I want the right incentives in place to make them. I'd like to be fair and not regressive. That is that whatever it takes to reduce carbon consumption doesn't affect the poor and those who can afford at least, doesn't affect them the most. It has to somehow be fair so we can do this together. It needs to be a popular solution, because if people don't like it, they won't embrace it. And it needs to be durable, so the next administration can't sweep it aside if it doesn't suit their taste. And probably, of course, the most important thing is it has to be healthy for the planet. It has to help us have a more livable world. But wouldn't it be great if it also helped the economy, if it added jobs and supported growth in a sustainable way? Now, that's a tall order. Is there such a solution? I mean, what actually can meet these criteria? That solution is called Carbon Thean Dividend. It's very simple. It begins by charging a fee on fossil fuels at the source, at the beginning of the supply chain. So oil, coal, gas, imposed, which will increase its cost. As the cost goes up, consumers are going to think, how can I spend less money to get where I need to go? Meanwhile, energy producers are thinking, hey, how can we produce energy through alternative means? And a host of industries get in on the act, figuring out how they can help people save money by producing low carbon solutions to a livable world. So that's the fee part of it. Now, what about the dividend? Well, there's a lot of money that's going to be collected from that fee. Where does it go? Every adult will get an equal share, and every child in a household, every child under 19 will get half a share and spend as they wish. Now, what does that do? Well, first, it makes it insanely popular. People love getting a monthly check, and they're not going to let that program be set aside unless it's for a good reason. Next, it means that those who can afford that increased fee the least, the poor and the middle class, are going to get a check, a dividend that will offset their increased cost. In fact, studies show that about 2/3 of American households will actually come out even or ahead because they don't use that much carbon and they'll still get the same amount of money back. Of course, those who use more carbon, those who produce more greenhouse gases will pay more, and that's why they're incented to switch to a lower greenhouse gas solution. So those are the basic ideas. Charge a fee, give it back to households, and let the price signal of the market sway people. Now, is this a feasible program? Would anyone go for it? Well, at Citizens Climate Lobby, we've been talking about this for a long time. We've been influencing a lot of people. We've been trying to get their attention. And even in these partisan times, there is finally, before Congress, a bipartisan climate solution called the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. It's supported by Democrats and Republicans, and we expect many more to sign on. And what this says is, yes, let's charge a fee on carbon. Let's give the money back through a dividend. And let's do two other things to make this a viable solution in today's political world. Let's make sure that we charge something at the border on goods that come in that haven't paid the fee. So that if, say, the steel made in the U.S. is more expensive because of the carbon fee, you can't bring in imported steel that hasn't had to pay that fee and undercut American manufacturers. So we'll charge them a fee at the border to equalize it. Also, there'll be a limited time where carbon dioxide regulations are limited to give this carbon fee and dividend policy a chance to work and to prevent a double penalty. Now, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act is going to be very effective in cutting greenhouse gases in the U.S., again, 40% within a few years. It's good for people because it'll save lives and it'll give people money to pay their bills, especially if they don't use it for more carbon. It'll be good for the economy. This might surprise you because this policy actually will add jobs to the economy. It's a bipartisan solution, which is essential in today's world. And it doesn't grow government because that money is distributed, it's revenue neutral. So it's really a solution that everybody can embrace. However, they will not embrace it unless we build the political will for Congress to take action. Just as we need to see, have personal conviction and a path forward and a playbook and support, our Congress members also need a little push, a little nudge, a little urging to act on climate change. And CCL volunteers are deployed across the country with this in mind as their laser focus. It's time for Congress to step up and pass this legislation, and we can help them do it. Now, none of this happens without taking action. So it's time to consider, what is your action plan? Now, many of you said, when I had you raise your hand about what you're doing, that you're acting locally. You're taking steps locally for your carbon footprint, and that's great. Please keep doing that. Just have one request. Start talking about it. Break the spiral of silence. Share with your neighbors and people around you what you're doing and why you're doing it so they know more about climate change. And then, as you continue to do that, please consider joining us in a campaign for a national policy to reduce greenhouse gases, because that's what it takes to deliver the real solution, the long-term solution. Be an advocate for an effective national policy. And Citizens Climate Lobby is designed to help you do that. How? How can it help you do it? Well, you have some choices. First, you can get more information. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, there's a one-hour information session about Citizens Climate Lobby, where you'll learn a lot more than I can tell you in the few minutes here. So you can sign up for that. By the way, all this information is at your tables on a checklist. You can fill it out. You can take it with you. I'll just run through it quickly. You can also find out more about the Energy Innovation Act at the website listed here, energyinnovationact.org. After you get more information, I urge you to tap the power of CCL chapters across the country and around the world. We have over 425 chapter groups in the U.S. with over 100,000 supporters participating. And your local chapter needs you, and you need your local chapter for support. So what can you do in these chapters? Well, quite a lot. One thing you can do is participate in grassroots outreach. Do you know that volunteers engage people in outreach events and farmers markets and film screenings? They do meetups. They did it a lot in 2018. How many events do you think volunteers participated in 2018? Any guesses? Over 3,000 events in 1 year. That's a lot of events. You can also engage local leaders in your community. Our volunteers have gotten endorsements from a wide variety of government and business leaders for our approach to climate action and for carbon fee and dividend. How many endorsements did we get in 2018? We got almost 4,000 endorsements. You probably know someone who might endorse this approach, or maybe you can introduce us to your organization or your group to come speak and get other people in on the act to help fight climate change. Another thing you can do through the chapters is to use the media. CCL volunteers wrote a lot of letters to the editor and newspaper op-eds in 2018. You can join a letter writing party. You can follow us online. You can do it on social media. How many letters and op-eds did we write? Over 4,000 in 1 year. With your help, make it 4,175. So there's lots of things you can do in the chapters. And when you're ready, why not join us on our next visit to Congress? Our volunteers held about 1,400 meetings with members of Congress and their staffs in 2018. You can go in district right where you live to visit with your member of Congress, or come to the annual conference in June in Washington, D.C. I went there and it was a blast when 1,000 volunteers are swarming Capitol Hill, visiting every member of Congress we could, meeting with their staffs, making our case for climate change. It made a huge difference. Join us at the conference. So many things you could do to begin. And now I'd like to hear from you. I'd like you to consider, what did you learn or relearn again today that's important or energizing for you? What actions are you going to take locally or through CCL to advocate for a national policy? And then maybe you have some questions. So take a moment now, turn to your neighbor, and have a discussion, 2 or 3 minutes, about these questions. What you learned, what action you're going to take, what questions you have. We'll come back. We'll talk about it all together. Meanwhile, I thank you for your listening. Please talk among yourselves. We're going to come back. We're going to listen to their insights and their questions. I'm going to thank them by quoting Marshall, the founder of CCL. I used to think that the important people were taking care of the important problems, but preserving a livable world is up to us little people. What we do and what we don't do really counts. So thanks for your participation. Here's my information if you want to contact me, and I look forward to working with you to address climate change. That was a demonstration of what we call a fresh approach. You know, there's a lot of things to notice. Let me just mention a few here, and then we'll keep discussing this. There's what I said, there's how I said it, but there's also the mindset. like, who am I being? What's my identity? Where am I coming from in talking with you? I install a certain mindset, like, here's my purpose. What would you guess is the mindset that I'm trying to bring as a presenter? So my mindset is, I don't have all the answers, but I know the important questions, and I'm here to share whatever I have. It's a mindset of generosity, of sharing what I have, of enough authority that I authorize myself to speak boldly, but enough humility that I don't have all the answers, and we're in this together. Very important. Mindset is attitudes, beliefs. I believe in the power of you to make a difference. I not only say that, I treat you as someone who will make a difference. I just need to expect you to and support you to, and you will step up. That begins with believing that I can make a difference for you. But this is why I say that as a presenter, we're mostly focused on being the source of energy and inspiration, not just information. Look at this list for a few other things. You'll notice the flow and the sequence, very intentional. The different ways that we try to bond and connect with people and let them know that we're on the same page. The focus on what's local to them and real for all of us. Again, inspiring and empowering and staying focused on here's what we can do, the pathway, the playbook. Here's what you can do.
Brett, thanks everyone for joining us this evening. How to get involved. The presenters and schedulers action team works hand in glove with Brett and the Citizen Climate University, providing with you with a continuum from learning to practice. We're invested in your success. Why is this important? Grassroots presenting is the foundation on which CCL was originally built. Over the years, citizens connecting with other citizens, there are now over 500 active presenters and schedulers on our team. And any one of our presenters will tell you there's nothing more gratifying when you succeed in establishing flow with an audience, like we just did with Steve. Flow is that special level of engagement and mindshare that transforms people from being fence sitters, getting off and actually doing something about climate change and helping CCL. And now that a bill has been introduced in Congress, we want to increase the number of outreach presentations by more than 50% by participating in the training this evening. You are now part of our plans for achieving this objective. So I hope you'll follow up by joining our action team on CCL Community. You can do this going to the top menu bar and select Connect with Others, and then click on Action Teams and join presenters and schedulers. Presto, simple as 1, 2, 3. We have Action Team webinars with outstanding guest speakers like Steve Levin, who you just heard. We also have on our Action Team website a trove of scheduling tools, slide decks, speaking proposal templates, aids our members have shared with us over the years, such as the drop-in ready slides you can use to augment, extend presentations just like the ones Steve just gave. And with your help, we'll continue to add to our shared store. Finally, I'm here to provide support to any of you who get stuck or have challenges. So please join us.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Steve. If anyone has any questions on that, just let me know and I'll head. My email is simply brett@citizensclimate.org. And Dave's, I know he's more than welcome to also be available if any of you do have additional questions. Super easy to remember. All you have to do is type in climateguardian100@gmail.com, and that is Dave's. So at this point, we just want to thank you all for making it on the line tonight. We know that this was a really anticipated update for the presentation resources that we're providing. We hope that you found this useful. And we know that all of you are out there making the difference already in the effective presentations you're giving. We hope this is going to give you that extra oomph to go to the next level. And again, thank you for being here tonight, everyone. So good to see you.